Hallelujah. You may be seated. There's a kind of worship that makes a guy want to jump up and shout and run the green line. And then there's another kind that just can't stop crying, you know. I've suffered both of them. I thought the jolly one was better when it first happened, you know, hilarious laughing almost. And I thought, you go to a place, how could you feel this way any other way? But then I started crying. Along with the crying seemed to be an understanding came, and I wouldn't replace it. Wouldn't even try. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, and I heard some things during the time of glee, joy, laughing, and but they didn't outdo the things I heard when I was crying and weeping. It's a form of intercession, but it's not a kind that's trying to minister to some lack that you've been believing for. It's another kind. When you spend that long periods of time suspended in His presence, the only thing you'll do to make noise is worship and pray in tongues. You gave food up, so you had to kill that. A few days go by, you conquer and kill that, and then there'll be a few problems keep bugging you and telling you, what are you doing here? You ought to be earning the money for that bill. What are you, stupid or something? You go through that. And I remember when I discovered it was devils hanging around when I was fasting, trying to talk me out of it, discourage me, make icky, ugly feelings come over you. It took me to find out the difference between me imagining something and Him painting a picture in my mind. When I discovered the difference, then I knew that I was under attack by devils because they were afraid of where I was going. I sat straight up. I mean, it's in there, and there's a sound room for radio, and so I was in there, and I sat straight up. I said, you are out of here. You're out of here. I got you identified. Changed the whole realm of what I walked in. They gave up because they knew I knew. You know, the devil pulls a lot of stuff on you because you don't know it's him. You wasn't born griping. You born crying. Could be because somebody hit you. I mean, if a little, eeny, teeny, little bitty baby has a system to express itself, then what might that be? Just because you get older, you don't think you got ways of expressing things, do you? Hallelujah, Jesus. When the real ugly stuff comes and says, I'm ugly, and if you're not ugly, you're going to be ugly when I get done with you. And when I'm talking ugly, I mean not ugly, ugly, but ugly. I mean, the devil will make you feel like you're a snake that's already been skinned and turned loose. I mean, just you couldn't feel any lower. How many's ever been there? How many's ever was tested or attempted or tried to be introduced to? Why, you just might as well terminate yourself. You think you're ever going to be anything? You'd be surprised if the people were brave and know they're free and want to take. You'd be surprised the ones whose hands would go up. You know. You know what I'm discovering more and more? Even how I feel is a choice. What I weigh is a choice. I found out what I weigh is a choice, you know. What I'm getting at is we can do something about it if we set ourselves to it. Because there isn't anything you can't do if you want it enough. Including developing anointings, the Word, meditation. Any idea what starts happening to you when you read a little book like Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, Philippians? Just one little book. My mouth got to run away. It got to run away. You just went through, just idled through and read all them 10 times each. And that's to the next one went 10. Next one went 10. The next one went 10. You know what would begin to happen? Things you missed before. Things you missed before would suddenly stand up and say, I identify with that which was in Philippians, and this is what it means. You go, God, I'm smart. No, you're not. You just plugged in. Oh, what happens? What happens? If I was a Texan, I was born in Fort Stockton. And I was an oil magnate. He's rich, filthy rich on oil. He says, well, old partner, I got to going over to England and watch over my holdings there. But partner, I'll be back when I got all of that finished. I said, go on, old Trigger, go and get over there and watch over you stuff. You. So he gets delayed, you know, gets too filthy rich, several million, and he gets caught up all over. And then he finally comes home about 20 years. They're all drinking coffee, looking at each other. Nobody said nothing. The old burnt in the wood Texans. Well, partner, old chapel butty of ours, how did it go in England, my good man? He says, the waiter comes out, the little teacup about this big. He picks it up. The other guy's got their mug and they're looking at each other. He goes, he's about ready to talk. Well, how are you doing? How are you doing, old partner? He says, tally hold the fox and all that kind of rot. I'm doing very good, my fine man. You said you wasn't going to talk like a Brit. I say that. I don't. He didn't know it. But his brain began to program him. See, this is the thing. You can't keep calling something done. Some disease is in your body. You tell it where to get off. You tell it the truth. You keep speaking it and speaking it. You're going to end up believing it. And when you do, he said, all things are possible. Amen. To him that believes. Hallelujah. Well, I want to be an entrepreneur. Well, go do it then. I don't have any money. Isn't that the point? Go get some. You think I can? I know you can. People do it for the devil all the time. Get out there. Problem with money. Persecution, affliction, cares of this life, second to the top, take out deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, which is the God complex. But that's second to the high and take out. Why? Because you can buy anything. You can buy anything you want. Buy a city, buy a presidency. What do you want? See, have you got past money? Or did it pass you up? Money's got a well of a lot of power. That's why it's deceitfulness of riches, the second to the God complex for takeout, the lust for other things. And those guys usually end up with the money of the guy that got it. But the lust for other things is a God complex. You know, Alexander Dowie brought Chicago to her knees. He got a revival to Chicago. Incredible. As time went by, he had this big robe made, this tall hat, gold chain. It built him a platform like that, only it was a throne-like, and king's chair, he ascended up to his throne. He made an announcement. He's going to buy up Israel, Jerusalem, and all the area. And him and Jesus is going to reign through the millennial. With him and Jesus. You want to know why? Because he declared himself to be Elijah to come. And he had it together. When I went to Israel to preach, we had a contact. And they were pretty high. They got two captains to take us on a tour. And I got to see a French castle. And a lot of things people don't get to. And we had two captains to escort us. And one captain said, walk in my footprints. So I said, I go. And he turned around and saw me and he says, walk in my footprints. And I said, why? And he says, because there's bombs. Like, here, you may step on a bomb. I said, where's your foot? They got to like us. So when I had a meeting at that woman's place, she's been here. So she had a little church in her front room, about 30 people. Let's see. And I got to teach there. And the captains came out. And I looked up. He was in the line to be born again. The captain got born again. I laid hands on him and prayed, and he fell down. He said, what was that? I said, you're okay. And while I was there, Elijah to come came. He was in the town, and he came over to the house, and he says, I'm Elijah to come. I'm going, I got to watch this one. You know what she did? He said, I heard you have a prophet's chambers of quarters. He says, yeah. She's right upstairs or somewhere up in the bedroom there. She says, and Elijah got here 2 or 3 days ago. You can bunk with him. Do you know how blessed you are to say that Jesus said he receives a mind and shows it unto you? That he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And not only does he receive from him to show unto you, but he gives us, as I've already taught here, that he gave us an absolute finished works every time. One foot in front of the other road into the cross and everything that it has for us. Why provide all those things with not a direct path that you can get on to walk into everything he has for you on purpose anytime you want to go? And as I preached a little bit earlier, what more could we ask of a father who's provided everything we could ever possibly need? Then when we don't know how to pray, he says we'll do their praying for them. And takes our life and the call that's on it. And then even borrows our authority and prays the perfect prayer for us, and because it switched to us doing the praying, then he's qualified to answer it. And people still fail? You hate to answer because you'd have to say, yeah. For many times it's my desire to teach you that my anointing will come on those who are able to receive it and begin to teach the things that I have, and will flow in and out of prophecy the things that are from my mind to you. I brought the diversities of tongues as an edification gift for you that hunger. There's no place you have to stop in the building yourself up in edification and the faith that I made available for you. I have made everything within your reach for those who truly want to give their lives to me and bring many, many people home with you, no matter what call you're walking in. I have given you a language to pray these things out, to walk out, that you may walk in my power and face down any disease. I said these signs would follow them that believe. I specified no one except identifying them in ministry. But where there's sickness and the lost, I expect you to put my shoes on and walk into the middle of that, saith the Lord. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I'd just soon read the Bible as prophesy it. This is a whole set on the basics of prayer. Several CDs. Boy, you get done with these, the devil's going to send a legion to keep you from praying. But trust me, that's a good sign. Then you'll start teaching other people, and then you'll get mad. Heads up. If you desperately think you need this, raise your hand. You want me to tell you what it is now? Do you? The love walk. You know, he said, when you say to the mountain or tree be plucked up by the root and get, then you remember, oops, oh God, I got out against somebody. You might as well just stop the prayer and go fix it. See? Same thing if you're asking for anything. You think you can run around and destroy people that he gave his life for and then expect to be blessed? What do you think Luke 6:38 was about when he says, I say unto you, this man dig deep into my sayings and laid a foundation. And you back up to the sayings, 27th verse of Luke 6. It's do good to them that hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. He'd slap you on the cheek, turn the other one, takes away your goods, ask them not again. Then it gets to Luke 6:36, which is everybody takes an offering with it. Give and it shall be given to you. Heap down, press together, shake it out, and running over. Well, I cause men to give to your bosom. Yeah, you know why that was? It wasn't an offering. It was this man held the blood of Jesus up to the guy that hated him, took his goods, made fun of him, did everything to him, and he returned nothing but love and didn't even ask for the money the guy took. And God said, don't worry about it. I'll heap it together, shake it down, run it over, and I'm the one that'll give it back to you because you held my blood up to that person and you cared less what he did to you. You're going to be okay. I know you were really jumping up first and everything and doing all of that. How old are you? Yeah. Next time you run over to me. A place called Dunn. Woo! So you say, I'm going to bring this to Jesus. I'm going to drop it off. And I am going to leave it there. And watch it come to pass. It's going to be a minute. Put that arm down now. He was well armed. Me and my son David was preaching in the desert. Palm Springs. There's a church there that I went to. And David, if you know David, my son, he's Crocodile Dundee. He'll jump on an alligator. You bring a big rattlesnake up to him, it's a challenge. He'll grab it by the neck so fast and just carry it around, showing it to the people. He loves to roam in the woods. And he wanted to borrow the car. He said, can I take the car, Dad, and go out in the desert? I said, oh, yeah, but you know, we had to preach tonight. You have to be back, okay? Yeah, okay. And he drove way out, drove out, way, way out. And he finally got thirsty or something, seen a little pullover. So he pulled over and a couple of guys come out, not used to any cars coming, hardly ever. Guy come out and he was talking with David and he looked in the back of the van and the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power was laying back there in the seat. Suddenly he freezes up, says, Where'd you get that book? David says, my dad wrote it. He said, no, he didn't. Where'd you get it? He says, no, really, my dad wrote it. No, he didn't. Where did you get that book? Finally, David got it. He made him show him his driver's license. Then he stepped back, and just a horrified look came over him. He said, I'm starting to go to church. My wife and two kids got killed in a car wreck, and I don't believe in a God that takes your wife, your kids. But then I remembered. She had got a hold of a book. She just loved it. So this morning I told God, you know, I'm through with you and I'm that. Then he said, and I remembered that she loved that book. He says, oh God, you know, if you bring me a book, if you show me a book before tonight, that book, if you show it to me that he wrote, that she loved so much, he said, I'll believe. And David says, he says, if I can meet the man that wrote that book, I'll believe. By tonight. He sees all of that and he tells David, you're not him. David says, yes, I am. That's my dad. He said, where is he? He says, he's in the hotel over there at Palm Springs. David said, get in the car. He got in his car and followed him all the way over to our room and they beat on the door and I come out. He said, I quit believing in God, but I told him if I could meet the man that wrote that book by tonight, I would believe again. Now, what's the odds? We lived 1,000 miles away. I was just in a meeting there. That's all. Just a meeting. And not that many books had went out. God, he raised his hands up and he said, God is God. Prayed for him, and he fell out on the sidewalk and laid there for about an hour and got up, and he was a believer again. It's a place called Dunn. Dunn. I've seen that happen. I've seen things like that happen often. Often enough to know this new heaven and a new earth we're going to have means that this one's not going to be here. Everything you see and hear and everything around you is going to be annihilated. You're going to be the only thing left. And we get a new home. And you think you're not worth nothing? Don't you know if you and all your problems and who you are was the only person on the planet, only one son, one daughter, that he'd have to do the same thing? He'd have to die, raise. Would he do it for just one person? Yes. Yes, he would. Yes. Don't pray like you're one of a million. It's only you. When you raise your face towards heaven and start talking, come on. Come on. If I promised you everything and I couldn't lie, and I gave you a promise and you said, okay, I receive it. And then you walked off and got some insurance in case it failed. It's a good thing I'm not God because I'd drag you down. What are we doing? What is faith really like? What are we doing? He's not a man that he can't lie. No, you don't get it. Can. He can't. You tell me something that he could give you more valuable than his word. What if I gave you my word? Would you take it? For granted and slop around it? Or would you believe me? You'd hurt my feelings if you didn't believe me. Do you believe him? Years, not sitting still. I got a picture of the 59 Chevy I had when I walked off my job. It smoked so bad, I got stopped 6 times in one trip. If you were behind me and I had to let up on the throttle, that smoked like crazy and had run the police off the road, anybody. That's all I had. I never will forget. I was praying in tongues because I run out of English, not because I knew what it would do. I was even wondering if you'd pray anytime you want, as long as you want. But I just did it to survive the hours of quitting my job. Result of a dream. In the dream, there was a woman at the microphone, and I was sitting in a crowd, and she's getting ready to introduce me. She says, "And now our evangelist." And all of a sudden, the whole crowd disappeared. And I was the only one sitting there. And I was afraid to speak in public. And all I couldn't, I'd freeze up. I got D's in English because I couldn't give an oral report. And that made me walk off my job. Says, I guess guess one of you failed. And I gave my 2-week notice that day. Then I didn't know what else to do, so I just prayed in tongues and didn't even know it was legal to do it by your will, or does it supposed to come on you? But what else could I do? So I didn't know it was edifying me, and for 3 months, up to 8 hours a day, edifying me. I'd pray a little in English, but run out at least about 4 minutes or something. Go to begging. I knew that wasn't too good. I was supposed to be faith. But I did. They said, you want to go to this church over here, Methodist church? And, you know, they was having a prayer meeting. And I thought, you know, a prayer meeting was a prayer meeting, but it was a little different. And they set me down next to this lady that was crippled. And this is after 3 months. She come in on crutches. I didn't see it. And they give me some coffee. I was grateful for that. I didn't have to pay for it. I didn't have any money. Shaking it for excitement. Two months or three behind on my rent. Overcharged on the food to feed my wife and kid. I was shaking the coffee for excitement because they was a golden-tongued orator. And we know that God is the great celestial go-between the troubled waters and mankind. And I'm going, oh, God, what did I get myself into? I'm Pentecostal yelling, shouting kind of guy. So I was shaking my coffee, watching the rings. I didn't know she come in on crutches. I looked up just as blank as ever when I did. Her hip became an X-ray. I saw her hip socket all dark and corroded. I look at it and I go, oh my God. You got something wrong with your hip. She says, well, that's what the doctor tells me, sonny. I said, good. And she said, I beg your pardon. I knew exactly what to do. I said, I'm going to pray for you. I jumped down in front of us, and the orator was going, and Reno. And I grabbed her by the heels and pulled them up. I seen a guy do that. One of her legs was way back there, and I'm looking at it, and I go into shock. But I'm thinking, okay. He showed me this. Here I go. I give it my best. Bill working it up. And the orator sends his help over. He's going to break it up. And I get to the name Jesus just in time. With Jesus! And he's leaning over my shoulder and watching it go crack, pop, and it come out like that. And he goes, he went into a kind of shock. She says, she goes, what? And she jumped up, started moving around, and goes, it don't hurt. I'm healed. And somebody tried to go over and said, God doesn't heal today. And she hit him with her crutch. She goes, you're a bitch, honey. God. They just was in shock. They didn't know what to do. And I slipped out while they were shocking. I'd made it 20 feet to a tree. I leaned on the tree and I bawled like a baby. I dreamed on seeing stuff like that. And you mean you're going to use me? 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 No. Shortly after that, a man who had miracles said, you want to go to Salem, Oregon with me and drive? And I said, okay. And I went, and I was so broke. I was charging at the store, and they looked at me funny every time I went in. We were 3 months behind on everything. Good thing I owned the wrecked car. People would look at me in the car and say, anybody hurt in that wreck? And I'd say, what wreck? I was catching for this friend of mine, and another guy was there. He was a friend. And he came over and he gave me a note, and I started to I'll read it and see what it, and I started to open and I noticed it was a check. I don't think I had one before, except from the mill. And I went, oh, wait a minute. I know you're not supposed to open it up and read it in front of them. I know that much because I gave them checks before. Preachers. But I couldn't wait for them to shut up so I could run in the bathroom. Opened it because I couldn't make out the figure. I thought it was $7.36, but it was $700. $736. I looked at it and I patted it. Made a mistake when I got home. I showed Rosalie and nobody slept that night. The next day I opened an account, paid everything, gave $100 away and still had $100, and I've never been back. I made it to a tributary of the Willamette that went down near our church. And I got in the middle of the bridge and I stopped and raised my hands up it for healing that woman, and now he's met my need. I says, God, you're God. You're God. And I've never been back. People come with reports and stuff, and I just have to bite my lip and shut up because it's just hard to believe. This works. This is everything we've preached. Everything on one. I wouldn't even know how to get it off. I put it on a word at a time. I don't know how they could put everything I've said for 40 years on that, this thing. But well, maybe not 40. 20-something. Reminds me of my daughter, Ton. Ton, I hope you're not here. Okay. Tony, I used to be on radio. Remember?
You were, Dad?
Yes, I was, Tony.
How'd you do it?
I said, well, I made a tape.
You made a tape?
Yeah.
What kind?
It was a reel-to-reel.
What's a reel-to-reel?
Well, it's like a cassette, but it's big like that, and you put one end of it over, and then you wrap it up and record on it, and then give it to this. She's looking at me.
Well, what does it do?
Well, it records it like a... You know, like a cassette.
Like a cassette?
I said, yeah, a cassette is a little one. It has a little one inside, a little wheel. And
oh. Oh, you recorded on it.
Yeah.
Oh, the other day I burned a CD. Well, what was wrong with it?
The dinosaur meeting with a lamb. But here's everything. Tony understands it. I feel sorry for the guys that were forced to take the back row. Come here and get this. I might knock you out of your chair. Hallelujah, Jesus. I can show you a revelation in 5 minutes. Something's coming. Matthew 8 and 9 chapter. I just love these verses and things he shows me, and And the Holy Spirit as the teacher is just incredible when he starts breaking these parables for you and things that faith really does come by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, he really did equip us. And he really did say all the right things. In this 9th chapter and 14th verse, then came to him the disciples, saying,
"Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples, they fast not?"
I think, what a good answer this is going to be. And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom's with them? Days come, bridegroom, that's him, be taken away, and then that day you fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the tear is worse, the rent is worse. Neither do men put new wine." Some of you know all about that. "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottle perishes. They put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." While he spoke these things, I can't help it. Them just staring at him, says, "We're asking you about the Pharisees fast off, and yours don't at all." And he said, "Because you don't put new wine in old bottles, or a new garment, new piece of garment on an old one. That's why they're going crack me if I'm wrong, but didn't we just ask him about fasting? Why they don't fast? What did he say? He said, "You don't put new wine in old bottles and new bottles on old garments." Oh, okay. Thank you very much. We just found out everything we need to know about fasting. Get out of here, guys. Come on. What in the world would that have to do with fasting? See, when you learn to meditate, and don't take a verse out of context, stroke up the brush, it's just one part of a whole. You learn to meditate. Like if you read Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, you know, if you read them like 10 times each right in a row and go through them, you're setting yourself up for day and night meditation. I mean, there's things that you'll see because all of a sudden it'll call this up, bring the two together, and you'll go, "Oh my God, that's what that means." Well, I don't know. Has anybody ever told you what that means? Put new wine in old bottles and new cloths in old garments? Because they ask him a question.
We know John's disciples fast. We want to know why yours don't.
Because you don't put new wine in old bottles and new patches and old garments. And they're going, finally they start whispering, "Okay, yeah, let's get out of here. Thank you." You know what he was saying? You don't do that. If you put the new wine in an old bottle, it'll blow it up. It'll fermate, just explode the bottle. It's already been stretched. You got a garment, you can just reach up like this and tear it. You don't put a new patch on it. It'll pull on the weak places and things. It just don't work. What was he saying? He said, "I'm here now. They don't have to fast. I'm with them. Soon I'll be taken away. And do you put new wine in old bottle?" They go, "Well, of course not. But I have to." See, they're going to be born again and receive a new nature. And I have to leave them in the old wineskin. I got to leave them in the old garment, but that's okay. Fasting is going to have an effect of preserving the old garment till I come back, until they walk through the part and the trouble and the faith. You can put the new wine in an old garment. and you fast and pray, you'll fortify it for the duration of the operation of the new wine. All the signs and wonders and anything hell can throw at you, your wineskin is not going to burst. That's what he was saying. You don't put new wine in an old wineskin, but we're about to. And fasting will cause that old wineskin to stand up against that and preserve until he's done with you. Hallelujah, Jesus.
How'd you figure it out?
I didn't. He told me. How many times did you read over it? Not very many, maybe 40. What'd you cover? Yeah, I covered all the area around it. Yes, I love meditation. I love it. Someone says, watch out, the flu's going around. This last fight I had, the devil tried to kill me, but it's okay. It was the most ferocious fight I'd ever had, but I won. Up until then, I was convinced that when a germ landed on me, it died, not me. But he set it up, and I'm not even going to give him any glory or nothing. But he set it up in such a way that he pulled everything on me that I didn't know about quite. But I came back. I'm back. I'm back. And I'm all here. Feel good. Hallelujah. I could go out and run home. It's 3 miles away, 2 miles away. I could go out and run home. I only need a day to do it. Es que soraco. A que soraco. E vinco stoda per wanda. For what I've said in the past, I'll say to you again, that you don't have to bear that pain. You don't have to put up with it. At times, the devil will work on your believing process to neutralize you in a place to where when it gets a little bit better, you stop. You need to see this thing through, for I have good news for you. I've already healed you. All I need you to do is stand up to him and what I gave you, and you'll see, and you're free. But not only now, in the future. Because you think the future's going to be easier than now? Go to school. Pray. Get yourself ready, saith the Lord. For many of you, it'll be the greatest times of harvest. But then still some will have a tendency to go down in weakness. Don't you be any of them. For I give you the keys. You need to teach them the keys. If they don't want to listen, teach them anyway. Many times they're listening in private, but they have their pride. So go on avenues. Preach it. Teach it everywhere that you can. Because once they get the leadership of the Spirit in them, I'll guide them. I'll cause them through the manifestations of my power to walk out of everything that isn't into everything that is. Woo! Hallelujah. So, we don't put new wine in old bottles. But he had to. But that's okay. Fasting and preserve our old wineskin for the operation, duration of the operation of the new wine. Then we'll get our glorified bodies. We'll get our new skins. But meanwhile, he fixed it to where this one tries to go haywire. Just quit eating. It'll straighten right up and say, please. Please. Shut up. You going to mind? Are you going to mind? Do you still want that cigar? No, no, I'll sacrifice anything. Just get me a hamburger. You ought to hear your flesh bargain. You want to know one of its favorite? Oh, go ahead and eat. You can start tomorrow. Long as you keep your hope, you know, you snargle that thing down, then tomorrow comes and you snargle another one. I've been through that a few times. But I'll tell you what, once you beat it up, it says, look, you can always start. Tomorrow will be more convenient. Anyway, look what's happened here. And I think, yeah, I'd tell Roast, I need to start, you know, a couple of days. But when I stopped doing that, I found out that you'd get past a tough place. Then the running was easy for a while. He don't like you to do that. He hates fasters. That little kid that was sick, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. What is fasting to it? It executes the position that your flesh has been declared. If Christ be in you, the Spirit is life because of righteousness seated with Him. But the body's dead. Why? Because of sin. So that positional truth is death. And what He's saying there, it isn't of an ounce of power that can reign over the new nature that He's gave you in your character. You don't have to let it. And if it tends to and does that, you can shut that thing down because fasting executes the position your flesh has been declared, which is dead, and it loses its hold over you as you fast. I'm talking about the kind of hold that when you pray for somebody, you know, not much happens. Then if you're fasting, you pray for them, but somehow you tapped in to a place in the Spirit where He could move. Sure. Because you went and put to death what used to be kind of minor control in that area. Flesh shouldn't be able to tell you what to do. Believe me when I say, the office of the true entrepreneur, the dominion of it, the domain, hasn't even... I mean, I haven't even had anybody come to me and talk about a guy giving anonymously millions of dollars every time they need them. We haven't seen that revival yet. And I don't care. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory. If He tells me to go to Brazil, I walk to the ocean, then I start swimming. But I'm going. I'm going. That's it. I'm going. Now you can't say He didn't even open the Bible. Yes, I did. How many's getting edified?
Hallelujah.
This is question and answer. I have a question and I answer it. Remember, in Bronx, it was in that room that I had that 1 minute. I came out, I had a minute where He took me away. Funny you do it there. It's nothing personal. I lost all my fear. There's a hospital with 300 kids in it, somewhere around. And in that 1 minute, I knew. No fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And no fear in 1 minute of love. And in that minute, I knew. See, it's a law. When I turn loose in my wallet, every time it falls, you think God doesn't have spiritual law. I knew I wasn't going to just pray for the 300 kids in the hospital. For 1 minute, I knew. Didn't I say that when I come out? I knew I was going to empty it. In the Spirit, while in there for that 1 minute, I knew I was going to empty it. When I tried to examine and relive that and find out what He meant, He said, basically, this is a taste of where you're going. I wished He'd give it to me then, but for some reason, I don't know, I might have messed it up somehow. But I don't think so now. How many remembers 20 years ago when I had the vision of revival? It was a dark layer, and I thought it was clouds or something, and it was ended to be the flesh. People would fight their way up through part of it, get their mind through it, or a great teacher, get a hand through it. They were anointed to pray for the sick. But some of them broke all the way through, caused great revivals, and shot like firebrands to dark cities, and then they begin to glow. And it kept increasing on the planet. And I was taking a shower when I saw that. Just that they're taking the shower, and all of a sudden I have this vision, this pow, bam, it's going. I was kind of hoping it would have started sooner. It's about 7-8 years ago. But I know it's coming. You know what I saw happen when all the fear was gone? Places like the mall, public places. Somebody wheeling somebody in a wheelchair down through the mall. You say, don't just be, you know, stupid about it, but say, excuse me. What would you do if I was to tell you that, ma'am, I'll just lay my hand on her and pray. And your daughter, she'll jump up and walk. Did you know history is dotted? Not too much. After the apostles in a few hundred years. But history is dotted with people like that, that operated like that. And it happened over and over again. Most churches today, they rely more on we won't bring money up. This is what God wants. Don't watch the preachers, you know, in church and fail over prayer and the unbelief that's loose and doctrines. Don't wait on them. He said these signs would follow them that believe. Of course there's people that have fluent gifts that sinners who are coming on board and all that can bring their loved ones and come themselves and get saved and start learning. But I'm convinced that when we come to a part of city that's sick, we can reap a revival out of there just by ministering the basics He died for, which is healings and things. And I'm not going to wait around for it to come to me. I think I'm going to go to it.
Well, they might laugh at you. Then laugh.
When I got saved, if you would have said, boy, I'm glad I got... He got saved? Him? That's probably what you'd have said. I shocked myself. When he visited me and told me I was called, I went and told the pastor, and he thought, oh, I'm not too sure about that. And when he talked about it later, he says, he told me he was called, you know. Then I left and went to Oregon. He meant well. He just didn't want me to be hurt and discouraged. I went away 10 years. Came back, knocked on the door. Hello? I said, you remember me? All we did was chase these daughters at that time. Oh, I remember you, he goes. He said, what are you doing now? And he looked around me. Is that your van? I said, yes, sir. It had Harvest Time Crusades on the side of it. He said, you're not him. I said, I am, sir. I am. And I come back through. I preached for him. It was a cornerstone in my life and ministry. He said, I was wrong. And the way he worded it in the church, I wept. He says, I was wrong. I came back for a week. Turned into six. Okay. See, how come when you read a chapter 15, 20 times, you can, maybe a paragraph, you can quote it back? What happens to your faith when you say, no, I'm calling it done. I'm not believing what that says. I believe what the Word says. It's done now. It's done. I can walk. Or I can raise my hands. Or I can breathe. Or I don't have any pain. It's gone. Ooh, I want to thank you and glorify you and praise you that you took my pain away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My pain is gone. My pain is gone. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can't keep going. Somewhere along the line, you're going to end up believing it. I'm healed. No pain goes. Try it all you want. I'm healed. Jesus bore my sickness, carried my pains, and I'm healed. Pain goes. Make all the noise you want. I said, I am healed in Jesus' name, and I'm worshiping you and thanking you for it, God. Oh, Jesus, I thank you today that you died under the penalty of my diseases. You love me so much. I'm so free. And it goes, hallelujah, I have no pain. I have no pain. I have no pain. Hallelujah. 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 And do you know what? All things are possible to him that believe. You're going to talk yourself into it. Hallelujah. Faith has got a lot to do with that part of your brain. It's where crying originates. Laughing. It's where the tongues come from. Most of movie stars have to think of real sad things to cry because you're not really in control of that. But there's a place there, my God, where the mountain is gone and you know it's moved. But I can see it there, yeah. But you know more inside that it's moved than it knows that it's there. And you keep agreeing with it, keep agreeing with it. And you'll have what you say. For nothing is impossible to him that believeth. Nothing. I can tell you stories of it taking men 3 years. 3 years. And they talked themselves up out of a wheelchair that they were in for life. Betty Baxter. And her dad said, why don't you just quit it? Now, why don't you just quit it? You know you're giving yourself false hope. You're never going to walk. Just stop. Every day she'd confess that she could walk. And she'd tell him. One day upstairs, Jesus came to her. She stretched out her little arm and she's closer. I want to touch you. And he stepped up closer and she touched him. My God, she went running down the stairs yelling, Dad, you were wrong, weren't you? You were wrong. And she stood on the corner waving a flag and handing out. People knew her. My God, she's walking the testimony. Serving God isn't a couple of hours in church a week. It's first before anything. Church should be way down on the list of something. Oh, I better go to church so I put my stuff in, you know, and I'm going to be right with God. Oh, come on. It was just a place where we could meet together and learn more. They didn't have Bibles in their laps. The prophets were a main source of food. They weren't like, yeah, ones that we have at Yale. They really had something to say. No Bibles. To get a letter from Paul. Be off the counter. My God, Paul's in a letter. Most of them couldn't read anyway, and it'd be read to them. And they'd celebrate and start praying. Boy, when they discovered praying in tongues. What a season. What do we have now? 66 books. More information available than ever before. And what does the devil do? Just get some to deny most of it. Most churches that you walk in aren't free. You don't walk in sick and leave healed. How far away are we going to get from it? Thank God for people at least that get saved. But you know, the world's not going to be saved by some guy lecturing each week. We got to get in there and attack the world. We got to bring life into the darkness of it. We need to visit the whole doctor's community with miracles. We need to shake them up like Jesus did. Yeah, even more than that. Like the apostles shook them up when every person that was sick was brought to where they were at. And they were healed. It said every one. So we've got no excuses, do we?
Well, they walked with him.
Oh, okay then. It's easier to send somebody to hell today than it was then? I don't think so. Come on. Come on. First of all, take your time. Change it. Make your most valuable hours the ones that are preparing you for what you're going to do.
We're not all called to teach and preach.
No. But you're all called to wrap yourself up in a full-time harvest. Reach to every corner of the city, no matter what your job is.
You just put us under conviction.
If you do, you needed it. I'm just having a good time, I guess. All right, how many's been healed of anything in these meetings? Hands up. Me too. All right.